saw your prayers tonight. As we look back into the Word, I told Renee when we left this morning, I said I could preach for well over an hour, and I wouldn't always have to have part twos on some of the burdens the Lord gives me. So if you want to cover more ground, you just let me know, and we'll just stay here a little bit longer. But it's good for me to go to meetings sometimes, because as good as something might be, after a certain period of time, you start losing the effectiveness of it. And it's good for me to sit under long messages sometimes, because it reminds me I need to keep things short. And I say that in balance. That's not to mean that every time something's long is bad. Don't misunderstand. But I also am very aware of the fact that not that we change with the times, but because we live in a pretty fast age, people's level of concentration, people used to, they drive for miles or walk for miles and come and listen to sit down for 2 hours, but after about 30 to 40 minutes, find that even if it's still real good, in most circumstances, people start losing what they've gained. So let's get right into the Word so I don't waste my time talking about preaching long. But that's, I want us to understand that there are some reasons why we may continue on. You know, I don't want us to lose the effectiveness or burden intensity of the message when we do that. Going to continue with the fellowshipping, the sufferings of Christ, and like us to turn over to 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. By the help of the Lord tonight, we're going to give some more scripture to back up some of what was said this morning. He said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Now, he's telling us something definitive here. He said, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, he said something was going to happen. And that means if it's not happening, we're not living godly in Christ Jesus. He said, yea, and all. Now, all it means everybody. It doesn't mean some people, it means everybody that lives godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now that's a promise. And that means that if we are not suffering persecution, that there are areas in our life that we are deficient in spiritually. And that means that if, oh, the world loves me, everybody just loves me, they love how I live, and people accept me for who I am and for my belief, and everybody just, I'm just that warm, fuzzy, cozy thing, and everything's always good, I will say that something is wrong spiritually. That's what the scripture backs this up over and over and over. And he said, if we're going to live godly, we shall suffer persecution. And the question again is, are we willing to follow in the steps of Christ tonight and suffer persecution? I believe, and I have been strongly impressed, even this afternoon that I was meditating on these things, that I was impressed with the fact that it's so easy for us to get into our little comfort zone, and it's easy for us to find our little subculture among the saints, and find our security among people that believe like we believe. But if we find that's where our comfort is in that subculture, and we are failing to reach out to people that don't know Christ, then we're failing the commission that God has given us. He said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I can't go out in the world and preach the gospel behind a pulpit. And so that means it's for all of us to go out in the world and live the truth. Live the gospel. Be a minister to those that we have contact with. There is a way for you to avoid persecution tonight. Now I want to tell you what it is. If you don't want to receive persecution, fit in with the world. Don't witness to them. Don't tell them of your faith in God. Be a conformist to the things of the world. But we are called to a heavenly calling tonight, aren't we? And that heavenly calling is a way that is a way of holiness and godliness and purity. And when we live that way and we are out fulfilling the commission to share the gospel, then we're going to receive some opposition. It means there are going to be people that don't like what we stand for. And they don't want us to witness to them. I want to share little story with you of Michael Sattler. Some of you may or may not have heard of him and his wife. They were around the time of the early 1500s. And they were Anabaptists. They ended up joining with the Anabaptists. And as some of you know, The Anabaptists, that's where the Mennonites and the Amish, that was some of their roots. They were Anabaptists. And unlike many of their teachings today, their roots were found in the truth that infant baptism isn't what the Bible teaches. And that they believe that when you were converted and you got saved, that you are to experience full immersion baptism again. So they're called Anabaptists. And Michael Sattler and his wife were arrested. They had gotten together, and it was one of the first Anabaptist creeds, if you will, that went out in that time period that was contrary to what most of the other Protestants were teaching and preaching. Even some of the Reformers were against full immersion baptism. And so Michael Sattler and his wife were instrumental in promoting some of this truth, and he was tried and convicted by the church of heresy. And as a result of the conviction, he was taken, and I'll just read you what happened to him. He was taken into the town marketplace, and he was tortured. A piece was cut from his tongue, but he was still able to speak. And they took a glowing tongs, and they ripped pieces from his body. And at the marketplace, he prayed for his persecutors. And he was taken outside the city and tied to a ladder, and a sack of gunpowder was tied around his neck, and this was his prayer: Almighty eternal God, thou art the way and the truth. Because I have not shown to be in error, I will with thy help on this day testify to the truth and seal it with my blood. And upon speaking that, he was pushed into a large fire. And as the ropes around his hands were burned away, Sattler gave a signal to his group to show them he was confident about his fate, and he prayed, Father, I commend my spirit into thy hands. Those that live godly will suffer persecution. Are we willing to suffer persecution today? Some say, I would give my body to be burned. I would do that. But here's the question. Are you willing to go and witness to your neighbor and be rejected? This man was tortured because of his witness to the world of his faith in Christ and his stand on truth. It was more than just, I profess Christ. It was, the Bible teaches us to be baptized. And we say, well, don't cause waves, baptism. Let's not cause a problem here. Just, you know, people profess Christ, and you believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe, and we're all going to the same place. Isn't that what the religious world is saying today? Do you realize that the Bible teaches us to come out from Babylon and be separate? So are we going to do it with our mouth shut in our subculture, or are we willing to suffer persecution, fellowshipping the suffering of Christ, to go out and witness? You need to come out of false doctrine. You need to come out and live like the Bible teaches if you want to make it to heaven. And we say, but I don't think they want to hear it. What are we going to lose if we go witness today? Are we going to receive some rejection? So what have we lost? Lord brought this question to my mind today. Is a lifetime of witnessing to people and being rejected, if one person that was honest, through a lifetime of witnessing, being rejected, and your neighbor's looking, he's like, there goes those holy rollers. You know, there goes those self-righteous people. There go those people that think they're the only ones right. Are we willing to suffer that? For one individual that's honest before God to get some truth that would make an eternal difference. Are we willing to do that? And I'll say, Lord, help me. I'm preaching to myself here tonight. It's easy to preach to people that believe like you do. It's easy. Some people can't even get up and testify among people that believe like they do. And they're not even get persecution. But are we willing tonight to fulfill our commission and embrace and fellowship the suffering of Christ to go out and do the job that He called us to do? This man was willing to testify to the truth and pray for his enemies. He was willing to give his life for it. For truth, folks, for doctrinal truth. There is a mindset, and I will say again, it's creeping among God's people. Doctrine doesn't matter. I want to tell you, doctrine matters tonight, because it is doctrine that will teach us about God, show us what the Lord requires of us, and teaches us how to live. And when you hear people say, well, those things don't matter anymore, I want to say there have been many that have given their life that this truth can be passed down to us today, and we don't take lightly when people begin to say, well, baptism, you know, if you really want to sprinkle it, we're not going to make a big issue about it. And we ought to still be able to fellowship together. I say there's an issue there because it means something. And if I'm not willing to humble my heart to get wet and go down on the water and testify to the world, there's something in my heart that's not submissive. Not to man now, not to the group, but there's a lack of submission in my heart to God. You say, end times teaching doesn't matter. We all see it a little bit differently. There are some things we may not understand, and we give room for that. But when I begin promoting a millennial reign that the Lord's going to come back, what I start promoting is there's going to be another opportunity. And the Bible says when Jesus comes back, He's going to usher us into the judgment. There's no more opportunity. And so then are we going to get lax on that doctrine and say we're not going to teach it among us anymore? We don't want to offend somebody that believes differently. There have been people that have given their lives. Those doctrinal truths matter. We say, what about the second work of grace? There are so many that do not believe it anymore, that there is an infilling of the divine power of God that comes in and gives us the ability in a second definite work. Some say, well, let's just not press that anymore. We'll start teaching a little bit differently and give everybody room to believe it like they want to believe. Folks, the Bible still teaches a clear, precise infilling that is a definite work. And that means it matters tonight. So are we willing then from friends and family and the world around us, are we still willing to go out and say, this is what the Bible teaches, or it's so much easier on the flesh to just nod our head and smile? And we'll just stay on safe things. We'll say, yes, the Lord loves us. We can all say that, can't we? But when it goes beyond that to what God wants us to do and how He wants us to live, I don't want to be rejected. What are they going to think about me? And so we start to draw back from the cross. And the Lord's calling us to fellowship His suffering tonight. His wife, 2 days after Michael Sattler was killed, his wife was executed by drowning. Y'all remember what that drowning was called that the Anabaptists went through? It's called the third baptism. First baptism was when they were born as babies and they were sprinkled. That was their first baptism. The Anabaptists then believed, as the Bible teaches, that when you have been converted, that you are to be fully immersed underwater as a testimony. That was the second baptism. And the third baptism was through the torture and persecution of those that stood on that truth. And they take these people out and they drown them to death because of their stand on full immersion baptism. And so she was drowned to death. She received the third baptism. It was because of their faith in God. Folks, are we willing to follow His steps tonight? You see, in this world, it's not going to be easy on the flesh to serve the Lord. But I believe that when we truly are convinced of the truth that we are teaching, it ought to make a difference in how we live. It ought to begin that we ought to be so fully persuaded of it that we are not so inhibited to share what the Lord is and what He's calling for. Folks, we're not talking about church now. We're talking about something that will make an eternal difference in someone's life. So if they're going to go to hell, don't we want to witness to them? But they might reject me. It's not about rejecting us. They're rejecting God when we take the truth and people reject it. Folks, I have people, they get up and walk out when the truth's being preached. They're not rejecting me. They're not rejecting. They're rejecting God. They're saying, I don't want to do business with God. So do we stop preaching the truth? If y'all get offended at what I preach, you want me to stop preaching what's right?
He said, well, they're not going to come back. Do you want me not to preach or touch on it anymore? Or are we willing to say, Lord, I believe it enough that this is the way to get me to heaven. This is what I'm going to have to do to get my soul right with God. And that means when people that we love and family and friends and people that have been in the congregation for years, if they go away, don't take aught against those that are standing for truth. If you go to Monarch and you have someone that gets a little disgruntled of what was preached, if it was true, get behind them and support it. Maybe they were out of order and it wasn't the timing, but then I found this also. People say, well, it was true, but it wasn't the time. And my question is, when is the time? There are too many that are saying, well, we believe it, but it's just not appropriate right now. And they'll say that any time that subject's addressed. I believe there's an appropriate time for some things. And there's a time that some things probably ought not to be mentioned. But folks, the point is that we want to get behind and stand behind truth, and it's going to come at a cost. It's going to come at a cost of our reputation sometimes. But are we willing? Do we believe it enough to follow the Lord? And sometimes in places, this persecution, we may end up having to put part three on this. There are sometimes in places that persecution has been physical. And I've given some examples today of physical persecution. But involving imprisonment and death. But more often, folks, the persecution and the suffering that we face by our stand in the Lord and doing, fulfilling the commission, it comes at a more subtle way of rejection. You know, none of us like to be rejected. We like to be accepted. Like to be all things to all people. Well, if you, I know there are some people you can, even in preaching, you get on certain subjects. I knew a man one time, he was pretty quiet all through the messages, but I could get on one subject and I could get him going. I say I could. It was this topic. And if I wanted a little, some amens, I could just get on that subject and brother, he'd be behind me. Oh, but do you know that tonight, people, there's rejection that comes when we stand for the whole truth. And so that means then when it gets beyond those that just agree with us, when it gets beyond those that see it, our congregation here, when it goes beyond that, folks, there's rejection, there is ridicule, and it doesn't feel good to be ridiculed. That's the example Jesus set for it. He was ridiculed. He was denied. He was not accepted. And we want to be accepted so bad. Don't we? I mean, we just do. And there's nothing wrong with that to a certain extent. God made community. We were made to have friends and fellowship and to socialize. God created it that way. But yet not at the expense of our soul, folks. Not at the expense. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. But do we put our candle under a bushel or light? If we say, well, I'll just live my life and I hope they like me. And I'm not going to touch on anything. I'm not going to witness to them. I'm not going to share my faith. And they're on their way to hell. And I'm so afraid of being rejected, I'm not willing to put myself forward and tell them the way to get saved. And encourage them and say, if you want to make your peace with God, you're going to have to deny the flesh. It's the only way to make it to heaven, folks. But sometimes we're so inhibited. I'm not talking about being in your face. Again, I mentioned that this morning. That's not what I'm talking about. But I fear the devil has tried to zip us up too much. And this is one of the reasons why. Because we want to be accepted. You know how badly I feel when I know people have walked away when I was preaching the truth. You know how that makes me feel? It doesn't feel good, and there's tears and hours and sleepless nights that go from that. But I can't afford to stop preaching the truth, folks. I can't afford to do it because their blood will be on my hands if I fail to preach what God has given. I'm not talking about opinion. I'm not talking about, well, we all see it a little differently. But when those things affect our soul, it's fair game in the Holy Spirit as He leads to bring it out because it can have an eternal difference. Oh, thank the Lord. On the job, when you're different, when you refuse to cook the books, When you refuse to tell a lie that your boss wants you to tell. Tell him I'm out of the office. You're not out of the office. I can't do that. Social discrimination. We are facing, and I believe we are going to experience it more and more, churches in general in this country are going to be facing more and more legal restrictions. It's starting to happen in this country. That is a form of persecution. It's a form of those that have an agenda to try to get Christ out of society. I'm told you there was a way to avoid persecution tonight. Don't witness. And if you haven't been persecuted because of it, you've learned the way. The way that's easy on the flesh. Don't give a clear witness. Don't take a stand on godliness. We can be like Peter. See, there are some things we can say, oh Lord, I'd be willing to die for you. I'd be right there by my side. I'd give my life. And you know, Peter was willing to pull out his sword and say, Lord, I'll die for you. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter pulled out a sword. Sometimes that's a physical fight. But when it came to just a few hours later, someone said, well, are you kidding? I don't know who that is. He didn't want to be associated. You know those people that believe this way? Do you believe that way? Do you believe? What do you believe tonight? Are you willing to die for it? And I'll say, if you're not, you probably ought not to be believing. You don't believe it enough. If you're willing to die for the truth, then shouldn't we at least give God the courtesy to live it and testify to it and witness of it and not be ashamed of it? But I feel like sometimes it seems like, I don't want to put everybody in this category, but it seems like sometimes as a people, well, I'm preaching home folks here, that I wonder, are we ashamed? I'm not talking about this right here. I'm just speaking generally here. Are we ashamed of what we believe? Or do we really believe it? Are we enthused about the truth that God has given us? Or is it kind of like, well, this is my church, and it's just kind of, you know, traditional and historical, and this is where we've been and my parents, and we'll just all die out together. You know what I'm saying? Or are we going to say, Lord, would you revive within us a conviction for what's right in the way that you've given us, and give us the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about stubbornness. Give us the Holy Ghost boldness, the Holy Ghost leadership, that as individuals, as family, as a congregation, and as a body, that we would begin to go out willing to be rejected. Say, well, I don't want to witness because I'll be rejected. So what? So what if you find one person that'll listen a little bit and you may walk away and the Lord can come back and deal with your heart and you may never know about it and they may never come to church, but who's keeping track? The Lord's looking at our heart and He's saying, hereunto were ye called. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. Will we do as Moses tonight? To the scripture in Hebrews 11:25, it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Lord, I'm going to cast my lot with you. That's the way I want to live. And I want to do it in humility and in love, but I want to do it without shame because I believe it's right. Fellowshipping the suffering of Christ. Why do you dress the way you dress? Never been asked that. It's not just the girls. You ladies understand. It's not just the girls that are asked that. I know they stand out. Godly sisters stand out in our world more, by the way. But why do you dress that way? Do you know you have nothing to be ashamed of? You have nothing to be ashamed of tonight. And yes, although there's a lot of pressure in the world to conform, and you start feeling that draw, oh, it's natural to feel that draw. You haven't done wrong if you feel it. But realize what it is.
Realize the Lord has called us to holiness and godliness and purity. And if I get some opposition, oh, that means I'm accepted with Christ. Because I'm living like the Lord wanted me to live. Why don't you cut your hair? We may deal with some of these subjects more in depth sometime, but you know the Bible teaches that a woman's long hair is her glory. So why don't you cut your, we just kind of don't do that. Who doesn't do that? Oh, that doesn't mean I don't expect the world to understand, but if there's a biblical reason why I don't do it, oh, we need not be ashamed. For the same reason the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And then we can get into a long discussion. What's long? And what's short? Well, if we're going to err tonight, let's do it on the side of caution. Let's not get as close to the edge. Be careful being too judgmental of others. But when the Bible says long, let's just let the Lord give us long. And when it says it's a shame for a man to have long hair, let's be sure we keep it cut. Not to get into a place where, you know what I'm saying, that's Bible, there's a reason for that. And the world looks on and says, well, why don't you go over there? It's alright. And you know it's a place that when you go there, you don't feel the presence of the Lord, and you always start feeling lean in your soul, the warning lights ought to be going off now. It's not just an issue. Well, if you go there, you're going to backslide. It's an issue that my soul isn't in a very good condition when I leave there. And that's the reason why. And so then I don't have to fall back and say, well, the church says we shouldn't go there, and just kind of fit into the herd mentality of the saints now. No, there's a reason, because I don't feel God's blessings when I go there. And I'm leaning my soul. That's the reason I don't go. Oh, and there's going to be some persecution and some opposition and suffering. But folks, we have been called tonight. Oh, I'm not very far. We have been called tonight to suffer for the Lord. And I would that we go out not saying, oh Lord, I want to suffer. I want to retract just a little bit what I said. I said, we don't go and pray, Lord, bring suffering. But I was meditating on that this afternoon too. And I thought, you know, if we're living, the godly shall suffer persecution. And so, Lord, if it takes persecution to get the truth out, then may our hearts say, Lord, I'm willing. Where you lead me, the calling that you've given, Lord, I'm willing to suffer because I want my light. I want my life to be a light to the world around me. Let's fellowship tonight and embrace the suffering of Christ.